The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, I'm Pia Barangini, the creative director of LPA, an entrepreneur, a wife, and a dog mom based in Los Angeles. This is my new podcast, Everything is the Best, where we basically ask interesting people, how did you go from zero to yacht? I'm always curious how the hell people became successful, and I figured you would be too. Get on the internet with me. Let's laugh, let's cry, let's overshare, and let's get inspired to live our best lives. Check out new episodes every Wednesday. It's all for you, baby. Thanks for listening. Love you, mean it.
Welcome to the Career Contessa podcast, your shortcut to being more fulfilled, healthy, and successful at work. I'm your host, Lauren McGoodwin. Today, I'm joined by Danielle Robey, a journalist, host of the Pretty Smart podcast, and a person who's literally obsessed with asking questions. With a resume like that, Danielle is the perfect person to come on the show to teach us how to be more confident communicators. Danielle will also share tips on why we shouldn't be afraid to ask simple questions, a three-step process for telling a better story, and what truly builds confidence in the real world, plus much more. Remember to subscribe, rate, and leave a review for our show. One review equals about 1,000 new downloads, and that's the number one way that you can support our show is getting more people to listen and download the show. And now this is the Career Contessa podcast. Hi, Danielle. Welcome to the show.
Lauren, I'm so happy to be here. I'm such a Career Contessa fan.
I love that. Likewise, we're such a big fan of yours. And just so everyone knows, we just did a podcast swap. So don't forget to go over to Danielle's podcast called Pretty Smart. One, you can listen to me. But two, you have a lot of really amazing guests. Like, well, makes sense given what you do. But actually, let's start with that. Tell everybody who you are, what you do, and maybe a fun fact about yourself.
I appreciate you saying that. I think that we both love a good takeaway. So that's kind of where we're aligned. But I grew up in Chicago and I have been obsessed with questions since I was a little girl. Like I was the kid in the back seat that was asking my parents why the light turned green. And they were like, shh, let's play the quiet game. I kept asking why, and I haven't stopped asking why since. So I turned it into a career. I ended up doing local news when I was in Madison, Wisconsin in college, and then moved to LA, booked a one-way ticket. And I wanted to be like the millennial Barbara Walters interviewing celebrities and heads of state. And so I thought, why not start on red carpets? That made sense. I started sending out my resume and my reel from college, and absolutely no one would reply to me. And so my mom was in sales. She sold mortgages, and she always taught me that people love gifts. So I thought to myself, I have no money, but I'm going to put a little budget aside. And I started sending people cookies or bamboo plants with a little note that said, hey, my name is Danielle. I'm really eager. I'm happy to work for free. I just want to add value to your life. Like, call me at any time. It was a very desperate message looking back. But people would then reply to me and they would email me back, and I didn't have their emails previously. So they'd say, hey, Danielle, we don't have anything, but you know, thanks so much for the bamboo plant. Well, I had their email. So every few months, I would follow up kindly, send a new reel, send an update, send an article that maybe would interest them. And I'd say about 8 months later, a company called me and said, our host is sick. Can you be at the Paley Center in Beverly Hills in 2 hours? And I said, absolutely. So I put on my favorite dress and I did my hair and makeup and I ran to the Paley Center. And I ended up getting an exclusive with Simon Cowell, who I owe a big thank you to. I've never gotten to thank him. And from there, I got my first job. So I started doing red carpets, and then I won't bore you with the rest, but fast forward, I ended up working for a bunch of entertainment outlets like E! And Extra. And I did a morning show in Chicago. And then I launched my podcast, Pretty Smart, because I'm obsessed with women who are putting a new spin on pretty. So pretty bold, pretty witty, pretty strong, pretty smart. And I try to ask thoughtful, incisive questions that ask us what works for us and what we can work to change.
I love that. What an interesting story. And like, I mean, good for you for getting creative of how to get people's attention. And I feel like the 2024 version of that is like sending a Loom video, like of you sharing how you can add value in your email, right? Like, I love it. It's like, yeah. Okay, again, people think about careers as being very like black and white. Sometimes I'm like, you got to think a lot about the gray zone of like, how can you get someone's attention? Put yourself in their shoes, that kind of thing. That is so cool.
I've always felt, tell me if you think this is right, but I've always felt that people really want you to want the job. And yeah. So you don't want to look desperate, but at the same time, like if someone sent me something that was like, I'm obsessed with Pretty Smart and sent me like this whole Pretty Smart focused video or resume, I would be so impressed, you know? Yeah. So yeah, I think it's nice to tailor things.
I've always told people, I'm like, the company doesn't really care about your experience or your resume format or whatever else that you think. What they care about is like, can you solve my problem? Can you add value? Like, what's the ROI I'm getting from you? Like, I'm sorry, but it feels transactional. And I know it's because it is a little bit, but if you can think about it from that point of view, it also makes how you pitch them and how you tell your story and quote, sell yourself to them so much easier. I think it's almost like, let's take away all this like fake niceties and be like, okay, I'm here to solve their problem. So talk about how can I solve your problem? Right. And yes. And we want to know that you really want to work there. It's not fun. And it doesn't usually go well to be trying to convince someone to take a job. Like I can't think of any time in my recruiting days where we felt like we were talking someone into taking the job and then they came and they were happy, right? They were just like literally not a fit from day one.
I mean, you are such an add value person that I think you'll probably like this quote, but I heard Mark Cuban say this once and I never forgot it, that sales isn't about selling, it's about helping.
Yeah.
And really when you're looking for a job, you're selling yourself.
Yeah. That's a really, really good quote. Another one. So also everybody, Danielle is the person who had the podcast. I've told everyone this on this podcast many times, but my favorite quote is, it's this or something better. Danielle is the person who started that. She asked Gabby that on her podcast, which again, that just goes to show everyone how amazing the content on your podcast is. It's this or something better has been like my mantra for, I would say the later half of 2023 and now going into 2024. So I owe you that one. Well,
total credit goes to Gabby Bernstein, but I'm glad that it was Pretty Smart. That was the vehicle to it.
Yes, I love it. Okay, well, given that today's topic is communication and specifically how to be more confident in your communication, and you've obviously made a career out of communicating, why do you think that communication continues to be a topic that is so challenging for people, especially people who are in the workplace? Like I could probably narrow down most of the career issues that we talk about in the show down to communication styles and communication problems and miscommunication. So like, why do you think communication is still so popular?
I think about this actually all the time. And I've boiled it down to two things. The first is that we all understand words to mean different things. And it's a lot of times based on the household we grew up in, on our life experience, on our education, et cetera. So one of the tools that I've learned, particularly at work, but also in romantic relationships that really helps this, is to repeat back what I heard. And so this works really well with a boss because your boss will say something like, can you get me this Excel document with these names by 5 o'clock on Tuesday? And you say, sounds great. Just to clarify, you want this Excel document with these five names by Tuesday. Is there anything else you want me to add to the document?
Yeah.
And so to repeat back what they're saying, because sometimes that's not what they thought they said.
Yeah.
So that's really important. But secondly, I think that we have good intentions when we're communicating, but we're living in a high communication, low connection world. And so I actually like to, in my own mind, I think about communication actually as connection. And when you retool it, it's actually more heart-led. And I think you get a lot further.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think especially in a workplace where a lot of the communication is like being forced on you, like you're being forced to go to this meeting, or I'm sending you a request to do this thing and you have, you know, like you don't want to do that thing or you don't have time to do that thing. And so it's also easy to maybe like ignore that request over email. And a lot of things to your main point, a lot of things get lost in translation of communication. So kind of reestablishing that, what did you say? Is this what you mean? Am I understanding it correctly? Right. It's why they say, don't assume, you make an ass of you and me. Like again, like just really perfect.
I mean, how many times I can like think about my mom screaming at my dad growing up when she was like, I told you to get watermelon and turkey from the grocery store. And my dad's like, no, you told me to get watermelon and grapes. And it's like, they just, they heard different things. So I like the repetition tool.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously you have interviewed a lot of people. You've probably worked with a lot of people where their whole career is also journalism and reporting and talking to people. What have you noticed separates confident communicators from maybe less secure communicators? What do you see?
I love this question so much, Lauren. So my mentor was Larry King, and he was the king of questions. And he actually taught me how to ask better questions. I asked a different kind of question because of him. And I actually think this is the key, and I had to learn it from him. So he asked me to do a show one time, and I had hundreds of pages of notes because I was so nervous and I wanted to really impress him. And during the commercial break, I was like, Larry, am I missing the magic of the moment by like going through my notes and being so prepared? And he was like, no, you're not. Barbara Walters was the same way. She liked to reorder questions. But my method was always to ask questions that the audience was curious about. And so he would like say, I don't read the book. When I'm interviewing an author, I don't read the book because I want to ask what the audience knows at that point. So what I learned was I have a different method. It's okay to be a more prepared person. I actually think a lot of women don't have the privilege of not being prepared. Anybody who's a minority doesn't really have the privilege of not being prepared. So toss that aside for a second. But the most confident communicators are the ones that are willing to ask simple questions. It can be embarrassing to ask a simple question. It can feel like I don't want my boss or my peer to know that I don't know them. And people that are confident communicators know that there is no bad question. There's no dumb question. And sometimes those simple questions garner the absolute best answers and results.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, take the jargon out. Stop trying to sound like the most, like the smartest person. I mean, this is another phrase I've heard is like, don't be the smartest person in the room. Be the most curious person in the room, right? Or be the person who's the most interested in what you have to say. And simple questions can get the job done just as even better than the question that's very long and complicated and adds a bunch of jargon just to quote sound smart, right?
Exactly. In journalism, there's this phrase that like any journalism student will know, and it's don't use a $10 word when you can use a $1 word. Mm. And I kind of carry that through because people just want to get to the point and hear what you're saying.
Yeah, they do. Everyone is busy and everyone has a different communication style. I remember we did this workshop once with this quote communication expert, and they were like, some people's style is they want all the context. Some people's style is I want the bullet point. And some people are like, I need a mix of the two and you're supposed to just read my mind and know. And so I thought that was the first time that I was really like learning about different communication styles. And I know this is tough for everybody to hear, but we all know how we like to be communicated, but our job is really to find out how does the other person want to be communicated with, especially if it's your boss or someone you're trying to manage up with. And that I know feels a little like, well, I have to change who I am to better communicate with them. But ultimately you're helping yourself because you're getting what you want out of that, right?
Would you recommend asking your boss or somebody that you work with, like, how do you like to be communicated?
Absolutely. With? Yeah. We actually even have a guide. It was made with Liz and Molly, who are incredible authors. You guys should check them out on the Career Contessa website under downloads. And it's called A Communication Guide to Working With Me. And I think every team should do this with each other. You learn so much about other people and their preferences. And it allows you to, again, edit your way of doing things a little bit more, but to get better results or to get there faster, right? Like to your point, why use the $10 word or $10 method when there's a, you know, a faster way of doing it? So I absolutely think, yes, teams should be doing that and talking more openly about it. Also, I think there's so many different ways to communicate that, you know, Slack versus email versus in a project management tool. So I think it's also important to kind of communicate expectations up front where you want that information. But that's like a whole other side thing. I think ultimately, to your point, a confident communicator, I think we have this vision in our mind that a confident communicator is like someone who never second guesses themselves, who never asks a dumb question. And it's like, actually, maybe the most confident communicator is the person who's willing to ask the simple question, right? To your point.
Yes. I have a card game called Question Everything. And the tagline for it is that the most interesting thing is to be interested. And I believe that to be true. There's a Harvard Business Review study that said the number one complaint in any first meeting, first date, or first interview is the same. And it's, I wish they had asked me more questions. So a lot of people think they need to be really well-read or they need to come into the room knowing a ton. And really, if you want to be the most interesting person, just come in curious.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Same with networking. Like that's actually a really good tip for networking of informational interviews. It's like, be very curious, want to learn about the other person. I think so often it's like you are so concentrated on your agenda. Like I know I'm meeting with this person to plant a seed so later on I can ask them for a job referral. But at the moment, you should just be interested in their story and learning more about what they do and how they got there, right? Like even if you know that like, ultimately, my end goal is this other thing.
Yeah. I think people love to share their story. There's also another study that says that everyone's favorite word is hearing their own name. And especially if they're a bit older, they want to share what they've learned with you. And so I think coming in curious is the best thing you can do.
Okay. So I also wanted to ask you, what are three things confident communicators never do, which I feel like you've kind of answered a few of these, which is like they never second guess asking simple questions. But what would be some other things that you see confident communicators aren't afraid to do or they never shy away from doing these things?
I actually have a few. I would say confident communicators never shy away from asking simple questions. They don't impose, criticize, or judge. And so I guarantee that the person you feel the most comfortable talking to is the person that starts to ask open-ended questions. And journalism will teach you this. So you start with who, when, where, why, or how. For instance, I'll give you like, were you terrified when that storm started? If they say yes, terrified, then you can ask, what was that experience like? How did it feel? What was going through your mind when it started raining? Who did you call after it was over? So to ask open-ended things instead of stating how you feel is a really great tool.
Yeah.
I think confident communicators listen to understand. They don't listen to respond. And I think confident communicators, if I start to be really nitpicky, the best conversationalists are good at transitions. So one of the things I've always done is I repeat words. So if somebody uses a word in the last two or three sentences, they said, I said, you know, you mentioned the storm. And then I transitioned to my next question. And so that's actually like, I would say like the next level, but if you do feel like you're a great conversationalist, that's something to think about.
Well, it's funny. I was thinking when you said transitions, I was thinking about like getting out of conversations. Like sometimes you're at a networking event or, you know, you're at something like I'm about to go to a conference and I'm already like, yeah, this is that kind of thing where you sit at a table and then you need to get like out of conversation with this person so you can move to a new conversation. So maybe you can give me some tips because I haven't been in person in a while and I'm going to my first conference. Like, how do I get out? I want to be a confident communicator by getting out of the conversation.
I am the worst at this. I wish I could give you advice, but you could probably give me advice. I will go to a coffee with somebody and end up there for 3 hours because I don't like, how do I end this? I actually did ask a girlfriend who's in hospitality this because it's truly like a thorn in my life. And she's so elegant at moving from table to table to greet her guests. And she said a lot of it is tone. So she'll tap someone on the shoulder and she'll say, it was so great speaking to you. I just saw someone I know and I want to say hi. I'll catch you a little bit later. And she's so light and bright about it that you don't feel sidelined.
Yeah. Speaking of communication, I feel like tone is a big piece of that, right? Like your tone comes across, which is why, I mean, we're talking about overall communication, but if we wanted to get nitpicky, like written communication versus verbal communication, there are lots of tips and tricks on body language also, but I want to keep this a little bit more general. Something that I would love your advice on, oftentimes people have performance reviews and sometimes they'll be given the advice like, you're not a great communicator or you need to work on your communication skills. And it's like a dagger to the heart because it's so broad yet specific. And unless they give you an example of like, you know, your email communication is really terrible. Like you don't get back to people in time, or you don't provide enough context or detail. Like unless you get that kind of, and you usually don't, usually you just get this blanket statement or reputation of like, you're not a good communicator. For anyone who's been given this advice before, or is working on this, what would you tell them to, like, where should they start? What would you tell them?
I love this question. The first thing is read the book, The Likeability Trap by Alicia Menendez.
Yep. She was on the podcast too. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. It was actually my first interview on Pretty Smart because her book just like blew me away.
It's really good.
Isn't it? I mean, one of the things she says is exactly what you touched on, which is oftentimes they don't give context and a lot of it is actually very gendered. And so the first thing is to really just ask for context and say, I really want to improve upon this. Can you give me one or two examples of how you see this happening? Because oftentimes they can't. Yeah. And if they can't, and that's more of a them issue, especially communication-wise, than it is you. But I always have the idea, second of all, that you take criticism seriously and not personally. That's a Hillary Clinton quote that I love. And I try to live by that because I really appreciate people's feedback. So like, don't feel defensive if you can like calm, because that's everybody's first emotion, whether they show it or not. And then in terms of getting better, I think it's hard because it's so specific. Like email is different than text is different than, and who you're speaking to is so different. Can you provide a little clarity around that?
Yeah, let's use it as an example of probably a lot with work, which is maybe your email communication. Like how can you get better with that?
Yeah, I actually worked on my email communication because I realized nobody ever formally, like I had friends who would work at corporate jobs who were beautiful email communicators. And I was like, I don't write emails like this. I'm more like cut and dry, no pleasantries. Sometimes I use caps, which apparently people think I'm mad at them. So my best advice is to ask somebody who's doing it really well and show them examples of your emails and ask them how you can improve and what you're doing wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. I also think if I was chiming in to answer this question, I would say over-communicate. I think a lot of communication, a lot of things you think you've communicated them or you assume the person's on the same page. And I don't think it ever hurts to over-communicate. We have provided this tip on the podcast before, but like every Monday, start by sending your boss a list of like, here are the things I'm going to prioritize this week. On Friday, let them know where you wrapped up. Like, I think consistent communication is so much more important than like the one-off beautiful email. Yes, those are great. But like, I also think consistently communicating is a really good thing. Kayleen, our content director, has this phrase, cover your ass, where she's really into communication via email because she's like, it's important to cover your ass if someone wants to claim like you didn't do something. So she follows up with everything in writing. Everything is a recap email. And I agree, that's very corporate, but I think that's why we're all multitasking all the time. It can be hard to keep track of everything, but if you've recapped it, it's nice to be able to go back and have that, I guess, if someone wants to accuse you of anything too. So
to your point, I think that people underestimate how busy their bosses are because we see one aspect of their job. And so we think like, oh yeah, they know that I completed this assignment, but oftentimes they have 10 things on their brain. They want to know that you completed the assignment. So I love that idea of over-communicating, even if it's just a quick, hey, just so you know, this is done.
Brené Brown has a phrase, upward empathy. And I think that's so important and not something we do enough with our bosses. We always think of empathy, like your boss having empathy for you, but upward empathy works the same way, which is like, be empathetic. They're managing 10 people. You don't know what's on their plate. So how can you make their life easier by following up in that email or doing something before them asking you? And I think communication is a really great way to do it. And I think confident communicators, they do that without maybe overthinking it. I think as women too, we've been told, you know, go back and take out your explanation points, say this word, but don't say that word. What are your thoughts on, you know, when you were interviewing people, like the inflection of your voice, were you trying to be very aware? Or are you trying to be very aware when you're talking to quote unquote important people about those things? Because I feel like women are really nitpicky about our communication style, or we've been told to communicate more like men?
Yeah, this is such a great question. The first thing is throughout my 10 years of interviewing, I'd say some of the most successful and or talented people in the world. The first thing is that I am continually prepared to be amazed and I am rarely disappointed. And so no matter who I'm speaking to, I know I can always learn something from them. So like really like everyone's story is important. And I genuinely feel that way. But to your direct question about gendered communication, which is huge, this has plagued my early career. We get a lot of feedback from my bosses saying, you know, when you get excited, your voice gets high and it ruins your credibility. I got feedback saying everyone has like a crutch word that they use. Mine is so, you know, everyone kind of has one. I definitely didn't want to sound bitchy. And so I would use a lot of exclamation marks or smiley faces. And the thing I've learned is that as I've gotten more comfortable with myself and my skill set, most of all of that has kind of gone away. And so I actually interviewed a child psychologist and I was like, I'm obsessed with raising a confident child. How do you ensure that you raise a confident child? And she said, competence breeds confidence. Doing something breeds confidence, even if you're bad at it. Just knowing how to do the laundry, doing it before, breeds confidence in your life. And so I really think if you feel any sort of, if you're discouraged, if you're not confident in your communication, the cure to that is doing it.
Yeah.
Women, like you're saying, are oftentimes like, I don't want to be a bother. I don't want to send the email. I don't want to add more words to their inbox. And it's like, just be confident in sending the email, send it out and move on.
Yeah.
I always tie it to like an example, because sometimes work feels obtuse to me. I tie it to like a relational example. And my mom always taught me that when someone passes away or someone is going through divorce or breast cancer, anything hard, send the message. And you'd have a million reasons not to. Like, I don't want to bother them. I don't want to add more to their plate. I don't want them to feel like they have to respond. It's always the right thing to do to send the message. And I just think that with work too, just always send the message.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's almost like always volunteer to give the presentation because that's how you're going to get better at doing the presentations. Always volunteer to speak up in the meeting because that's how you're going to get more comfortable speaking in front of a group. So, I mean, if we were going to tie this back to the title of like, what do confident communicators not do? It's like, they don't stay quiet. They raise their hand and they volunteer to do this stuff. And I think that is a really, really important point. I want to end on our last note of just, I think for anyone who's job searching is maybe told this a lot, like, the job goes to the best storyteller, like be a storyteller. And you hear this phrase of like how to tell your compelling story. What advice would you give to someone who's maybe job searching right now and is hearing this and they're struggling with the storytelling aspect? Like maybe any resources that you love for getting better at telling your own story? I think this blends in with personal branding a little bit too, but it's always told as like how to sell yourself through your story, how to tell your story correctly. Any advice for the job seekers out there?
Yeah, I actually have thought about this a ton because I have had to work on telling my own story. I'm usually the one asking questions and I felt really nervous about being the one interviewed. And so because I'm a prepper, I kind of tooled and retooled and retooled my story. And I learned a few things. So one is start with a hook. A lot of people think that you're supposed to start chronologically and it makes sense in your brain, but it's actually not catching the audience's attention. So start with the first one or two lines that really grab somebody's attention, and then you can go back chronologically. The second tip I would say is if you can tie in the end to something that happened at the beginning, like a great callback, that's what great comedians do.
I think like a comedian. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Chappelle does this the best, you know. I think the classic callback is great if it works. And then I think you always need a moment of vulnerability. And so you can have this very valiant or heroic moment. You can be excitable and your voice gets louder and you're more in their face. And then you take it back and your voice gets a little softer. And you say, I have to tell you, I thought it was going to be my dream job. And I cried in the bathroom at lunch every single day. And then how did we fix it? Because we don't want to end on that note.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I think of it as the hero's journey, which like any great American novel, like any literature class will teach you is like, it's kind of like three steps, right? It starts with a hook, the hero goes through something hard, and it ends with the solution or the great moment of valor. And I think that's kind of a great way to tell your story.
Yeah, I love that. That's really good advice. And I'm going to wrap us up now just because I feel like we can't end on a better note. But I think also, Danielle, you've given us a lot to remind us and tips and tricks to kind of use in our everyday, because communication is an essential skill to being successful in your career. And you have to learn how to communicate, and you have to be able to edit your communication style for other people. And so I think we've covered a lot here, but also communication is also how you sell yourself in a job. And so for those who are job seeking, I think this will be helpful for them. Danielle, tell people where they can find you, learn more about you, listen to your podcast, all the things.
Thank you. If I can add one last thing, I think sometimes we feel like we don't know what to say. And I ask questions and speak for a living, and I sometimes don't know what to say. And when I take a step back and I think about, what do I really mean to say? Like, what do I actually want to say to somebody, instead of what should I say or what sounds good? That's when, like, I really get the best results. And so if you just take a step back and think about, like, what is heart-led right now? I know that sounds woo-woo, but I think that helps, even in business. So yeah. You can find me on Instagram, on TikTok, on all the things at Danielle Robay, R-O-B-A-Y. My podcast is Pretty Smart. And we did a pod swap, so everybody can listen to your episode on my pod, which was so, so good. Lots of actionable advice. And then if you want to practice asking questions, I have a card game called Question Everything, 52 Questions for Deeper Conversation. And I sell that on my Instagram. It's on Shopify. And I really do think that the more you ask questions, the easier it gets. So I think it's good practice to kind of gamify it.
Yeah, absolutely. We love card games around here. Thank you. And then everybody, I'll put all of those links, including the card game, in the show notes. Thanks, Danielle.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Career Contessa podcast. Please take your time to rate, review, and subscribe. Little insider tip, one review equals about 1,000 new downloads, and that's the number one way that you can support our show so we can be back here each week with amazing guests. And don't forget to check out Danielle's podcast, Pretty Smart, and grab her deck of question cards. It's all in the show notes.